We live in compromising times, when tolerance is celebrated as the highest value, when open-mindedness is admired as a personal virtue. It's tough to stand up for biblical principles. Instead of declaring what's true, what's right, and what's godly, we're often tempted to concede and compromise. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll points to Paul's counsel to his spiritual son. In 2 Timothy 3 and 4, we find a persuasive argument for upholding the truth, no matter the cost. Paul's greatest concern was for Timothy to declare God's message without apology. Chuck titled today's message, Never Quit It.
When you get to chapter 4, we are closer to the end of Paul's life, and maybe that explains a little of the intensity as he levels Timothy with some urgent commands. He begins with a solemn charge. Look at how he opens the subject. I solemnly urge you, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who someday will judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom. Now, I understand when I get into these verses, some of you have not been called to an ordained kind of ministry. I understand that. Don't hide behind that. You're part of those who support this. Without your presence, this isn't much of a church. We need you, each one of you, standing in support of these directions. There are five commands. Number one, preach. Preach the word. Number two, be prepared or be ready, your Bible may read. Number three, correct. Number four, rebuke. Number five, encourage or exhort. He's saying to Timothy in language he could understand, you have a responsibility to preach, to stay ready, to correct, to rebuke, and to exhort. That's your job description. Let's take them one after another. Preach the word of God. In every generation, the word of God is to be preached without fear, without favoritism, and without apology. It is to be preached without hesitation or reservation. Now, notice secondly, he is to be prepared. In fact, he says in the next command, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. You know what the Greek term says? Stand by. Not stand down. Stand by. Be ready. In fact, you need to correct. See that third command? It means to assist others to realize that the truth will help them with their sinfulness. That's why you will hear me mention sins from time to time. I know a preacher who will no longer use the word sin. I heard him say that on television when he was interviewed. Oh, you know, people already know that they're sinful. I don't need to tell them what they already know. Oh, you don't? Is that right? I know I shouldn't eat too much, and I gorge. You mean you shouldn't tell me I shouldn't be gorging? Well, you know, it could be offensive. Yeah, I know. That's why it says correct. Correct. See it there in verse 2? Patiently correct. Assist others to realize that the truth will help them deal with their sinfulness. Don't hold back. Address the sins of our times. Call them what they are. Say it straight. Just as you appreciate a physician, to go back to the analogy, who says, I feel a lump here and it's suspicious on the MRI, and from my experience, I know we need to get a biopsy. It's going to quite likely lead to some pain. There'll be additional expense. It may take time for there to be the kind of correction necessary in dealing with the lump, but ignoring it will not make the lump go away. So it must be corrected. I've never dealt with a sin that was not specified by the Lord in my mind. And I've found in my preaching it's necessary to be very specific and to say it straight when it comes to correcting individuals. Now, I observe, and I haven't overlooked it, I'm to do that patiently. I'm to do it patiently. People need time. When you are confronted with wrongdoing and you have a long habit of doing what is wrong, and you see in the scriptures that it is wrong, doesn't make it easy. As a matter of fact, the enemy goes to work to convince you that whoever is speaking is mistaken, or the verse doesn't really teach that, or you shouldn't take it so seriously. All of those things move into action, as well as the old habits of doing what you want to do. Nevertheless, the one who teaches is to correct patiently. And I notice fourth, we are to rebuke. Make others aware of the consequences of wrongdoing. Don't be afraid to use words like clogged artery, or cancer, or overweight. Say it like it is in the physical world, and the same in the spiritual realm. And when you do that, I've observed that people who desire a walk with the Lord are very grateful, because we all know that we need reproofs and rebukes. And rarely will we deal with things that are not addressed specifically, as I said earlier. Not only do you point out the sinfulness that's going on, you say it's a clogged artery, and you don't do anything about it, you will wind up a corpse. We got to fix the artery. Here are the options. And we work our way through that. When you are rebuking, you're doing that. Fifth, we are to exhort. See the word? Encourage your people with good teaching. All the other things I've named could bring discouragement if that's all you hear. So it is the job of the faithful expositor to provide words of encouragement, statements of compassion and understanding, without compromising with what God's word teaches. People can be discouraged if you do nothing but this hardcore kind of rebuking and correcting. So he says, encourage them. Your Bible may read exhort. It has in mind being compassionate and patient with others. What we have today, my friends, is a rising tide of defection. A defection. So that the church no longer looks like a church. It no longer sounds like a church. The word of God is no longer honored, and people are no longer encouraged to bring it. We'll put it all on the screen to make it easy for you. My job isn't to make it easy for you. It's to help you realize this is tough. But you'll be able to sustain life. You'll be able to go on when the doctor says to you, you know what, I think your wife's situation is really serious. I have to tell you. And where do you turn? You turn to the truth you have been taught. You stand on what you know is reliable. And when you do, you are grateful that you did not drift. The point is, verse 5, but you, there it is again, pseudo, you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Timothy, don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. You know, when I referred to the cross, I told you the good news. That's my task. Some in this place would not know the good news if I did not tell you. It's my responsibility to give you the good news. Christ died that you might live. And when you trust in him for eternal life, you'll have eternal life. When you don't, you'll spend eternity in hell. That's the truth. Though there are many, many, many who disagree, I don't care. I've said things all my life that people disagree with. I kind of like it. I like Churchill's words. Few things in life are more exhilarating than being shot at without result. I think there's a lot to that. One of the earliest experiences I had in listening to an expositor happened to me in Palo Alto, California. I was, by the grace of God, chosen to be an intern at Peninsula Bible Church. Dr. Howard Hendricks is a good friend of Ray Steadman, who's a senior pastor at the church for many years, as I recall, over 40 years. And he wrote Ray and said, I'd like you to consider a young man who is a student at Dallas Seminary. It was the summer of 1961. Cynthia was carrying our first child, and we knew no one in the church. Nevertheless, I knew it was a great opportunity to be under the tutelage of a man who knew how to take the Word of God, explain it in terms that people today can grasp it, so that the life can be transformed. And if you can do that in Northern California, quite honestly, you can do it anywhere. And I've had respected him from a distance. I'd heard him when he lectured at the school, but I'd never known him face to face, personally, never sat in his study, never looked into those steel blue eyes, never heard words directed to me from his mouth until I became an intern. And I have to tell you, men and women, it was a turning point in my life. Ray was a model that I needed to be around. He was real to the core, and he loved the scriptures. And here he was, many years removed from his own seminary training, still using the Greek text in his study, still respecting the original words of the scriptures, never once bending in the matter of the truth, but he knew how to apply it in a way that people who had never been exposed to such teaching could get it and could see the value of it in their lives. I just can't tell you how valuable that was. There will be those today, I remind you, who will urge you not to go there. The emerging church, or the emergent church, is one of the characteristics of our times. I stand against it. I do not think that forming that kind of church or going to that kind of church will result in a deep walk in the Christian life. Every desire is to make everything relevant, and it's to stay away from the quote, tradition of the past, even though the scriptures remind us of the value of tradition. Doctrine is tradition. Truth is traditional. It's traditionalism that is the enemy. Back to Stott for a moment. He writes this. These words are especially relevant where innovators arise in the church. Radicals who claim to be progressive and who repudiate everything which savors of the traditional. Still writing. It has perhaps never been more needed than today, when men boast of inventing a new Christianity with a new theology. To be sure, the church of every generation, don't miss this, must seek to translate the faith into the contemporary idiom, to relate the unchanging word to the changing world. But a translation is a rendering of the same message into another language. It is not a fresh composition. Let me read that again. A translation is a rendering of the same message into another language. It is not a fresh composition. Yet this is what some radicals are doing, setting forth concepts of God and Christ and the church. And his apostles would not have recognized that as their own. The apostles themselves constantly warned their readers of newfangled ideas, and they kept calling them back to the original apostolic message. I hope you hear what I'm saying, and you also hear what I'm not saying. There's every reason in the world for me to preach to 21st century believers and to use terms that are understood and grasped by people of today. We're not living in the first century. However, the message is to be drawn from a first century truth, or even earlier when we go back into the Old Testament. Now, why is this important? Well, look, verse 3. A time is coming. I would even render this, a time has now come, when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you, Timothy, should keep pseudē. There it is again. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. So, I have three things to say, and then I want to conclude in a way I've never concluded a message before. First, I want to say something you need to realize, and then I want to say something you need to resist, and third, something you must always remember. First, realize, as time passes, the tendency to compromise will intensify. As time passes, the tendency to compromise will intensify. Why? Because more and more people will not embrace the truth. You'll be surrounded by more and more, and believe me, one of these days they'll point in our direction as a church. They don't want the church to stand for what the church ought to stand for. And there'll be leverage used against churches like this one. And they'll want us to fall in line with the compromise position. Realize, as time passes, the tendency to compromise our convictions will intensify. Don't get soft. Don't get soft. Number two, resist. Resist every temptation to drift away from the written word of God. Resist every temptation to drift away from the written word of God. Everyone who comes to preach for me when I am gone needs to have his Bible open. You need to be able to count on that person to show you in the scriptures what the message is about and apply it from the scriptures. And as best I can tell, they are the individuals who can be trusted to do that. Don't give in to our times. Number three, remember, our adherence to the truth keeps us strong, not our agreement with the majority. Our adherence to the truth is what keeps us strong, not our agreement with the majority. Don't quit. Now, some very personal words I want to give in closing. When God led me to start this church, I didn't know anyone out here. I didn't. I didn't know the geography of this city. I didn't know the benefit of owning property at this particular place. I had individuals around me who were able to tell me this was true, but I didn't come because of any of those extraneous things. I felt like there needs to be a place where the truth is being taught faithfully. I'd been doing it since 1963, and I need to continue it, even though I'm now engaged at that time as a president of Dallas Seminary. So I began the church. I did not care what the fads were. I still don't care. I did not care what other churches were doing. I still don't care. Now, there may be things that they have learned, and I can benefit from that, but I don't care what their style of worship is. That's not here. I don't try to emulate something because some church is growing as a result of what they're doing. I don't pay any attention to that. I wanted to follow the Spirit's leading from start to finish, and I'd never done this before. Expository preaching is increasingly more rare, so we care about that. And I made the Lord a promise that from the moment we start, we would have our Bibles open, and I would be teaching His Word as best I could for as long as I could. We want to model it, and let me add a word regarding the future. We want to mentor those who can be qualified to carry it on, the Timothys of our generation, so that they might do it, because there's so few places to learn how to deliver expository messages. We want to be one of those centers that can teach them to do it. I have no idea how long I will live. I have no plans to back off right away. In fact, I have no plans to back off ever. until I'm disabled and drooling and not able to get around, because I'm going to tell you, if I retire, she'll go nuts. So I'm not going to be able to do that. Furthermore, what do I want to do retiring when the one thing I'm called to do is what I'm doing, and I'm to do this for the rest of my life? So I'll keep on doing it for as long as I should. But there will come a day, hear me, when I will no longer be here, when my voice will not be heard in this church. This work must go on. And you must be determined, beginning with the elders who govern this ministry, and you who are engaged in it as members and devoted loyalists of this church, you must put it down in your mind that this church will not compromise when Chuck is out of the picture. I've headed up to here with churches that drift and fall apart because one generation got it straight and the next one says, oh, that's too, you know, you got to work too hard. Believe me, you'll work hard. And I'll tell you something else. The enemy will come after you with every dart in his arsenal, and he will want to shut you down or shut you up. Help us, O Lord, in the midst of these days when everything seems up for grabs. And so much emphasis is placed on how we feel, or what other people think, or the public opinion, or even the majority opinion, and what is politically correct, and a half dozen other nonsensical bases of doing what we do. Deliver us from all of that. Hold us tightly to the mast as we sail this ship of Stonebriar Community Church. May it be guided by your Spirit. May your word dictate where we go and how we go there. And may personalities step aside as the truth takes charge and leads us on into the future. God bless this ministry and these men and women who have made it what it is today. Bless every teacher of children and youth and adults. Bless those who support the ministry with their gifts and sacrificial time and effort. May this place continue to be a lighthouse in a world that's lost its way. I ask for Jesus' sake. Everyone sit. Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll. It's part of a series called Wise Counsel for Troubled Times. In the event you missed any portion of this study, remember you can catch up with other programs by downloading the convenient mobile app, subscribing to the daily podcast, or by listening to the program directly from our website. You'll find all the details at insightworld.org. In addition to hearing Chuck's message, we'd like to recommend that you read a book he's written on a similar topic. It's called Finding God When the World's on Fire. In this brief hardbound book, Chuck explains how to sustain your willpower no matter what problems come your way. Read this book in your personal quiet times, or this would make a natural choice for small group discussion as well. Again, the title is Finding God When the World's on Fire. And it's available for purchase when you go to insight.org/offer. Well, this is a fitting time to thank our monthly companions and all those who give generously, because your consistent financial support allows us to deliver a message of courage to those who feel like waving the white flag of surrender. We often hear from grateful people who depend on Chuck's consistent teaching to help them stay the course and never quit. On their behalf, thank you for your generous and faithful giving. As a way to reach more people and as a means for sustaining this heritage ministry, we're making a concerted effort to add more monthly companions to our support team. If you're prepared to join us and take this next step in your commitment to our mission, you can easily sign up as a monthly companion. Here's the number to call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or it may be quicker if you follow the simple instructions at insight.org/monthly companion. Or give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888.
My friend, more than ever, Insight for Living Ministries is determined to serve as a lavish garden for people all around the world who long to smell the aroma of God's matchless grace. A safe place where imperfect, sinful people are forgiven, taught the truth, and redeemed.
There's a simple and effective way to leverage your support of Chuck Swindoll's ministry. Become a monthly companion.
In this emotionally charged era where shouting matches are commonplace, where people feel voiceless and overlooked and even condemned, would you be among those who give generously so that we can spread the fragrance of God's grace to those desperate for a second chance?
Become a monthly companion today. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion.
Together, let's introduce people to the God who says, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness."
Again, if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. Join us again Thursday when Chuck Swindoll persuades us to think biblically right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Never Quitting, was copyrighted in 2013, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.